Psalm meditation today is from Psalm 68. Please turn there in your New King James Bibles. We'll read responsibly as we usually do from Psalm 68.
Psalm 68, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those also who hate him flee before him.
As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God.
But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly.
Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. By his name, God, and rejoice before him.
A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation.
God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land.
O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah,
the earth shook.
You, O God, sent a plentiful rain whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary.
Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor.
The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it.
Kings of armies flee. They flee. And she who remains at home divides the spoil.
Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered in silver, and her feathers with yellow gold.
When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow from Zalmon.
A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan.
Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever.
The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place.
You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there.
Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah.
Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death.
But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses.
The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring back the beasts of the sea.
That your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies.
They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary.
The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels.
Bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel.
There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali.
Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us.
Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you.
Rebuke the beasts of the woods, the herd of bulls, the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war.
Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God.
Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, Selah.
To him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice.
Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds.
O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Amen. Okay, as you noticed as we read this, this is 35 fairly large verses long. This is one of the longer psalms, if not the longest. No, it's one of the longer ones. And it would take a long time to go through this to any degree of completion whatsoever. Because this psalm, more than many others, is full of allusions and references to other parts of Scripture. This psalm is full of prophecy, where David is saying of things that were going to come to the kingdom, then to the church, and then later, at the end of time, as the nations come to God. The psalm is full of history as well, referring back to creation, back to the escape of the people of Israel from Egypt, and going into the land. The psalm speaks of God going before the people through the desert. As this is described to David writing it, then it speaks of the tabernacle being set up there in his time. And it also speaks of the temple being invested in his son's day. So this psalm has really a lot to it. And all of it points to the great covenant that our God has made with his son for the benefit of his people, the church, the called ones. Both in the day of the Old Testament kings and today in the day of the King of Kings ruling from heaven. Excuse me. Now, I don't have time to go down through this verse by verse like I usually do. But let's look at some chunks here and go over some ideas that we have. The psalm opens with, "Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered, and those who hate him flee. As smoke is driven away, and drive them away. As wax melts, let the wicked perish in the presence of God." Okay, one of the things we need to see first, and remembering this is the Word of God. This is given by God for the church at all times. It is not wrong to pray to God that the enemies of the faith, the enemies of the church, will be destroyed. It is not wrong to ask that God would defend his people by whatever means he sees fit. Now, this was written in the Old Testament, but God has not changed. People haven't changed. Nothing really has changed when it comes to this concept, that there are those who oppress God's people and who oppose themselves against God. It is proper to pray that they would be destroyed. Look at verse 3. "Let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly, singing to God praises, extolling the one who rides in the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him." When we see God's providence, when we see God's miraculous defending of his people, we are to praise him. We are to thank him. We are to remember his name. His name isn't God. That's a title. That's a thing. He is Yah, the one who is, the creator God. He is a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. He lives in his holy habitation. At this time, it was in the tabernacle. God sets the solitary in families, brings those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. The next section here looks back into history, when he went out before his people, when they marched out of Egypt. How he took care of their needs, defended them against the nations who opposed them. He fed them and gave them water. He gave his word to the people. And the kings, the armies of kings fled. God went before his people and defended them. The next section, starting in verse 15, speaks of the mountain of God. Now, this is an interesting section, where it says a mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan, the mountain of many peaks. Why does that mountain fume with envy, that mountain of many peaks? Because God has decided to live in Mount Sinai. Now, there's a couple things here that have covenantal significance that we need to see. First, God chooses where his place will be among his people. It was at Mount Sinai at this time. It became Jerusalem later. Now, it is not located at any particular mountain peak. But the mountain of Bashan was a land that was in opposition to God. But the land wanted to be the land of God. And the word of God here tells this land not to be envious. God has chosen where he'll live. And unspoken here, but implied, is the time to come where God will not live on a mountain with His people, but the whole world will become the land of God. Again, a covenantal psalm, a covenantal aspect of the psalm. Verse 17 changes a little bit. We're looking back at the defense of the people. And the enumeration here that the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. So we've got 20,000 thousands of thousands, which is what? 20 million, 200 million, something like that. 20 million. Lots and lots of chariots, lots and lots of horses. And the Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. We see the power of God as this innumerable military force. And the Lord is with them as He is with His people, at Sinai in the holy place. You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you received gifts from among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Now this looks back to the building of the tabernacle when they used the gifts from the people of Egypt. But this also looks ahead, where He says you have ascended on high. Now in the mindset or the concept of the people at that time, God came down from heaven to be with them. What is this, you have ascended? This is looking forward to Jesus, of course, as the rest of this has. You have led captivity captive. That should sound familiar. And again, this phrase will be used later on in Scripture to speak of Jesus. This very phrase is used in a couple different places to speak of the redemption of Jesus Christ. And He did receive gifts among men, even from the rebellious. He did dwell with His people and then went on and suffered for His people as well. Verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Selah. Stop and think about that. I know we daily grumble and we daily complain. And as I have really felt sorry for myself this week, daily see how bad we have it. And that is such a foolish way of looking at things. At work yesterday, I was talking to somebody about the doctor, as I mentioned earlier, how bad my leg is. And they said, well, that's terrible. How do you stand that? And I said, it's real easy when I figure if it had been an inch higher, I would have been emasculated and my pelvis would have been crushed. And at best, I'd have lived a horrible life. Most likely, I would have died. It's not hard to be grateful when you see how close you came to dying. But I only think of that when somebody asks me. I rarely think of that myself. We need to stop and remember that the Lord daily loads us with benefits. And what is the chief benefit? The very next line, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord, to Yahweh the King, belongs escape from death. Again, this whole psalm is looking to the covenant. To God the Father providing for His people, through the Son saving a people to Himself. And how does God take care of His people? Back into the next section, God will wound the head of His enemies. Repeatedly through history, He has and He will have to intervene on earth to protect His people physically. Doesn't mean it's going to happen for every person at every time. But we know that God does do this. And the church has lived all this time and will continue to live because God the King is on our side. Starting in verse 24, I'd love to spend more time on all this, and maybe someday Phil or I will do a sermon on it and break it out, looking at the covenant before, current, and after from the perspective of David, and then looking at it from the perspective of Jesus. But we don't have time to do all that now. Now, looking from 24 on down through 27, this is a part that we all love to sing. It's a beautiful psalm. And what it's looking at is, again, the covenantal king coming into His throne room, with all the tribes there to invest Him. The interesting thing, I don't know about Naphtali and Zebulun, but Benjamin and Judah are the ones that were right there around Israel, around Jerusalem rather. But the princes of the people were there when God came to take up His throne in the tabernacle. And when we come to church, are we thinking that? That we're coming to where God lives with His people? Here among the new Zion, the church. Moving on again, the next section. God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us, because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Here we're looking past, really, what's going on there in Israel. If we look at this and on to the next section, we can see that it was somewhat fulfilled in the Old Testament, but it's really looking for the spread of the gospel across the nations. Kings did bring presents to him, but now he is the King of Kings, and that we see growing on the earth. Where it says, rebuke the beasts of the reeds, it's referring to Egypt. But it's also referring to all the nations who stand against God and try to stop the church. In the second part, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people, that's referring again back to the land of Bashan and to the other nations who had a bull god, that all of these would submit themselves to him as well. When all of those submit to God with pieces of silver, and God scatters those who would continue to rebel, who delight in war. And we see the nations coming to God in verse 31. And in the next section, 32 through 35, we see the culmination of the whole thing. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. This is a call, again, in the Old Testament, for all the nations of God, all the nations of the world, rather, to submit themselves to the true God. We hear all the time from the dispensationalists or from the others who really don't understand that in the Old Testament, God was only concerned with Israel. That's not the case. All the nations had the responsibility to obey the Lord. And it's only in the grace of the gospel that these nations will come to that. To him who rides on the heavens of heaven, which were of old, indeed he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. God is strong, he is excellent, his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. Now think about that. These people had just spent the wealth of the nation to build this tabernacle. And later the temple. Beautiful, with wealth beyond what we could imagine. And he says, oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. It's not the temple. It's the God behind it. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. The psalm is a psalm of acknowledgement of the covenant, of praise to God, of resting in his strength. It has some rehearsal of history. And then some joyous looking forward to what's to come. As much of the scripture, it is a broad overview of the covenant and of history and of all things being done in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to sing the beginning of it. Let us think of, as we sing it, all the times that the enemies of God were scattered, that they were driven away, that they disappeared, that the righteous, though smaller in number, the weaker, though seemingly able to be destroyed, as the Lord was for them, who could be against them? They lived, and we carry on that tradition. We carry that name today as the Church of Jesus Christ. So we'll sing Psalm 68, Part A.